The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Jim, 818,000 fewer jobs were added during the period between April 2023 and March of this year. We were bracing for these revisions to come out and show that job growth was weaker, and that is what we got. This is probably on the high end of the expectations. Some of the forecasters had been saying probably around few hundred thousand jobs. Goldman Sachs had said maybe up to a million. So this is on the higher end. We're seeing some of the biggest revisions downward in sectors that include manufacturing, leisure and hospitality, professional and business services.
When you hear that, do you potentially think that this new numbers could be a liability for this campaign?
No. When I hear that, first of all, I don't believe it because I've never heard Donald Trump say anything truthful.
It is, though, from the Bureau of Labor.
I'm not familiar with that.
The Biden administration has been caught fraudulently manipulating job statistics to hide the true extent of the economic ruin that they've inflicted on America. The new data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that the administration padded the numbers with an extra, listen to this one, 818,000 jobs that don't exist. So they said they existed, and they never did exist. They built them up so that they could say what a wonderful job they're doing. No, we've never had numbers like this.
You can see why propaganda is everything to the regime, as we covered earlier this week, because the numbers don't lie. It's the Democrats, the politicians, the federal government that lies. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com, or you can go to the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go to Rumble, make sure you give us the thumbs up and leave a nice comment underneath. Lots to get to on today's show. Just a quick update on that Atlantic story. We did look into that a little bit further, and it is true that the headline was changed. The Obamas are ready to fight. There's the old one right up top. And underneath, they softened it just a little bit because that's what they do. That's what propagandists do. Look, we can't make the dear leader look bad. We can't make Michelle Obama look bad. She just gave the best convention speech in history. I'll play that for you a little bit later. We ran out of time for that on yesterday's show. But you see the headline below, the Democrats aren't on the high road anymore. They have to take the gloves off because Donald Trump he's just pummeling them. This is the way the Democrats now roll. They've never done this before. I speak as a fool, of course. They've never done this before. But now, I mean, they're having to really go after Trump. That's all they've been doing. That is all they've been doing. Propaganda is everything. We played that clip for you on Monday. I think the guys have it. This is from that Tucker exchange. I forget the name of the guest, but played number 13.
Yeah. The capacity for lying among certain people just blows my mind. It's not, none of it's real. That's the presidency is not real.
Yeah.
How do they expect us to accept the election results, abide by those results, pay our taxes? How do they expect us to obey when the system has been revealed as illegitimate?
All of this government tyranny relies on propaganda.
Propaganda is the key. I mean, Joseph Goebbels, not to make everything a Nazi reference, never fired a gun in his life except into his own head in the end, never commanded an army.
Yeah.
You know, he was the political chief of Berlin, but he was the propaganda chief. And therefore, he was the pivotal person in the Nazi government. He was, because he was in charge of people's brains.
The pivotal person, Goebbels, because he was in charge of people's brains. He was in charge of the flow of information, or the propaganda, to be more precise. telling lies. I mean, that's all. That's how you prop up the regime, especially if you notice in that cold open, the numbers were wrong from April of last year to March of this year. That's an entire year. That's 12 months. And they got it off by nearly a million jobs, 818,000. How does this happen? How do you miscalculate? How does it always, how are the miscalculations always working in Democrats' favor? You know the reason why, and you can see why the regime is out there just spewing propaganda every single night. Particularly this week, when you look at the way they've covered the DNC. As I say, this one I ran out of time for yesterday, but this was the regime media's reaction to the Obama speeches from Tuesday night, clip 10.
Michelle Obama last night lit it up in a way again that very few people at conventions have lit it up.
Look at the people who you compared her speech with, and this is a woman who doesn't even like politics, as you pointed out, Eddie. Yeah. Man, she has got some skills.
Michelle Obama, that as a piece of political communication, I'm not sure. I can't think that I've seen anyone do it better than I saw her do it last night. And I, there, she's in the, that's the upper echelon of any convention speech, it's ever been given. But I think it's really important, the thing that this notion of the reluctant warrior, her credibility, people say she's the most, one of the most popular political figures in the Democratic Party or political figures in the country. She is popular, and her power comes from the fact that she's not a political figure.
Barack Obama essentially showing this crowd why he is still such a star inside the Democratic Party, but perhaps overshadowed by his wife, the former First Lady Michelle Obama, who gave a amazing speech that got this crowd on their feet to say, do something in refrain after refrain. She had some tough shots against the former president, but really was a call to action for this Democratic Party to come behind this new ticket, saying America is ready for a new chapter.
Absolutely, Brett. She said hope is making a comeback, drawing the line from Kamala Harris back to her husband's campaign.
I also see that Barack loves Michelle, and they both loved her mom. That love and that joy, this room lit up with it, and it is the reason that they're doing so well on this Democratic side, because they're bringing the love and the joy and the family connection that we lacked at that other convention.
A speech from Michelle Obama that I have to say is one of the best convention speeches I've ever seen by anybody in any circumstance. Not just because she's good at giving a speech, but because it was subtle and deep and thought-provoking and surprising.
And I love the message, too. The message that we're going to have bad polls ahead. Everybody's so excited right now, and everybody's so joyful right now. Bad polls are ahead. Bad news is ahead. This is going to be a tough battle to the very end. It's an incredibly important message.
Very unusual, I think perfectly delivered, and just a stunning speech.
This was a masterful act of leadership. It was a sacred task. They took it on well. It was like an oasis. I didn't realize I had been in a spiritual desert until they created that oasis on that stage, and they did a beautiful job tonight.
There they are, as I said yesterday, the last of the swooners. they're going to go down last, even as Obama's influence is diminished. You can expect more of that right up until the bitter end for these people. They've been doing it since 2008. And think about, some have noted on social media that Democrats have been in control, except for those 4 years, from 2017 to 2020, the Democrats have been in control since 2009. And so to hear them talk about or to justify these job numbers, that woman, by the way, she's the, what is she, the Secretary of Commerce. And this reporter's asking her, do you think these job numbers are going to hurt the Democrats? And she says, I don't even believe it. I don't believe anything Trump says. Well, it is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's from the government, these facts, these figures, these numbers. The numbers don't lie. But the Secretary of Commerce and all the rest of them, they lie. As a, Tim Walz was up last night, and it's just, he's lied about everything, including his personal resume. You've got all these, he's even lied about his coaching record, his position in coaching. And you've got all these people holding signs last night that say, coach, coach. And he's taking a jab at J.D. Vance because he went to Yale. Tim Walz is just a coach. He's a high school football coach. And J.D. Vance, now he is weird. He is strange. His family is strange. Okay. The propaganda is strong, stronger than it's ever been. And at least as Tucker and that guest said earlier this week, more people are waking up to it. It says on Wednesday, the Labor Department, this is from the New York Times yesterday, the Labor Department said that monthly payroll figures overstated job growth by roughly 818,000 in the 12 months that ended in March. That suggests employers added about 174,000 jobs per month during that period, down from the previously reported pace of about 242,000 jobs. So they're just lying. They're padding the stats, as President Trump said. They didn't want this to come out until after the election in November. But I guess it leaked out. There are at least some honest leakers left. It comes out here at the end of August. 818,000. Sam noted that this is the second largest revision in history. Guess when the first one was? No, well, that was way back in 2022. So during the Joe Obama administration as well, when they overstated the growth by about a million. So this is just what they do. They have to lie. The stats don't lie. The numbers don't lie. But the Democrats do, for sure. How many times have they said this week that the border's secure? Biden's people have let in at least 10 million plus. And during the 4 years of Donald Trump, how many came in? 2 million. That's like 20%. Probably more like 10 or 15% of what the Biden people, Joe Obama, have let in. And yet they've been saying the border is more secure now than it was under Trump. The regime survives on propaganda. Propaganda is everything. The numbers, however, if you just look at those, listen to this from Fox Business, clip 7.
Let's unpack how big government spending impacts affordability in America. So the Labor Department data has now shown massive price increases since the year 2000 in several sectors with a high level of government involvement. Yes, that's right. Since 2000, hospital services, guess how much they're up? 252.5%. College tuition up almost 173%. Housing up 103%. When they put their paws in, it doesn't work out. In addition, the Biden-Harris administration has added over $1 trillion and 312 million hours of paperwork in regulatory activity so far. This is according to the American Action Forum.
All of this government spending, all of this inflation, and over the course of just one generation. I mean, she brings up the year 2000. That's 24 years. My wife and I started building our home, or we had contractors come in to build it. That was in 2003, so a little over 20 years ago. And the cost for building a comfortable home then compared to today, I mean, it's just not even one full generation has gone by. And look at how worthless the money is becoming. And yet, they come out with the big plan. That was just last Friday. Seems like months ago. But Kamala comes out with her economic plan. They're going to put in communist-style price controls. Nobody's even been talking about that this week. At the convention, you think they would be celebrating the fact that, hey, she's actually got some kind of economic policy. You think they'd be coming out and defending it, since it did get a fair bit of criticism last Friday and Saturday through the weekend. But no, they just carry on telling you, the border's secure. We're adding jobs like crazy. I mean, inflation's, it's low. It's not really high. There's no problem. There's no problem. There is in fact a problem. The numbers don't lie. I didn't bring the clip, but Benny, I think his name's Johnson. He's got the Benny Show. He was going around South Chicago just asking all of these African Americans, who are you going to vote for? And at least everyone that he included on the video, this is Obama's neighborhood. This is where Obama's from. Obama was president for 8 years. We're voting Trump. We're voting for Trump. Then they asked a lot of black children in this minivan, and they say, we're voting Trump as well. What about Obama? What did he do for this neighborhood in South Chicago? Nothing. Zero. Trump did more for us during his first term. The numbers don't lie. The people that are opening their eyes and looking at the numbers, they know that the numbers tell a different story than the propaganda has been telling. Listen to this from Monica Crowley. She's telling you everything that we've had in America under attack for so many years. Everything that we've had in our brochure, he was right. Going back to what Herbert Armstrong prophesied in the 1940s and 50s. Listen to clip 3.
The Marxism is very open now. It's not like Obama, who kind of dressed it up in a pretty package. It's all right there for everybody to see, the kind of catastrophic consequences that we have suffered over the last 3.5 years, which would then be put on steroids under a Kamala Harris, Tim Walz administration. Because right now, all of these revolutionaries, for lack of a better word, are in their end game. They've been trying to destroy the United States from within for a very long time. This is why now we're at the tipping point. And if they go ahead with these policies, it will be the coup de grace for the U.S. economy.
I mean, that's like a perfect synopsis of what we've been saying about 2 Kings 14 and Amos 7, all that's there in the America Under Attack book. The attack from within. We're right at the tipping point, and what's God going to do? He's going to intervene and temporarily save America by the hand of Jeroboam. And that's why you see videos like what you're seeing from South Chicago, or the one I played yesterday. You know, Don Lemon, of all people. And then I mentioned just even the shift in some of these talking heads, when they just get out from underneath these corporate giants that are Fox News. I mean, listen to Bret Baier in that cold open, talking about how the swooning. Even Fox News, they love them some Obama. They just love the Obamas. But bring Trump up and you know how you're supposed to respond. Trump's out there talking about the numbers, because the numbers don't lie. People do. Democrats do. Communists lie. But the numbers don't. This is from the DHS, a report. It says in May 2024, ICE had not served NTAs or notice to appear on more than 291,000 ICE or UCs, that's unaccompanied minors, who there do not yet have an immigration court date. It says UCs who do not appear for court are considered at higher risk for trafficking, exploitation, or forced labor. So the federal government is telling us that the United States of America has lost track of 291,000 migrant children. I mean, that pretty much makes the federal government the largest child sex trafficker in the country, maybe the world. How do you lose track of 291,000 children? Well, I suppose it's similar to the way you lose track of 818,000 phantom jobs. Only this is it's just disgusting. This isn't just padding the resume. This is losing track of human beings. Human beings that are being abused and trafficked. in the United States of America, thanks to Joe Obama's border policies. This is according to a new report from the DHS. The inspector general says the government's basically lost track of these nearly 3,000 unaccompanied migrant children. And yet, the people running the regime would tell you, hey, the border's never been so secure. We have love and compassion. We're not like Trump, who puts them in cages. We let them in. We send them off to homes, and then we lose track of them. The New York Post says Kamala Harris is peddling lies as she insists in a slick new campaign ad and at rallies that she'll be tough on the border crisis. She's going to be tough. So why hasn't anyone in the media asked the vice president about her record? Because Kamala is responsible for our current border crisis, as I've been saying. I mean, you listen to them at the convention, and it's as if Donald Trump is still the president. I mean, listen to the Secretary of Commerce. A reporter says, hey, is this a job number? Is this revision? Is that going to hurt the Democrats? Well, I mean, I don't even believe the numbers. I don't believe Trump. Excuse me, Trump's not in office. Hasn't been for nearly 4 years. It says here, news outlets at the time rightly deemed her the border czar, responsible for, as Biden explained, stemming the migration to our southern border. On Harris's watch, illegal immigration has increased exponentially. More than 10 million inadmissible aliens, along with at least 2 million more known getaways or gotaways, have entered since she and Biden took office. 12 million, at least. I mean, you've got to estimate on the gotaways. How do you know? What if they've come across and they just blend in? They fall back into the shadows. Compare that to roughly 2 million illegal border crossings that occurred over the entire course of the Trump presidency. And you know what the New York Post says here? The numbers don't lie. They don't lie. Now, the Post goes on and says, it's not like the numbers tell the whole story. If you get into the detail of how it's destroying communities, I mean, they talk about one city of like 40,000 people that's brought in like 20,000 Haitians, I believe. I mean, how does a small city even absorb that? This is happening all over America. How do you absorb 12 million illegals in the course of just about 3 years? It's like Elon Musk said, I mean, America's got what, 3 or 4% of the world population? You invite the world in, it's only going to take a small fraction of the world population to destroy the United States of America. And I mean, this aligns perfectly with prophecies in Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, just being overrun by, as the Bible calls it, strangers. If you don't have the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, make sure that you request that book. We give it away like we do America Under Attack at no cost or obligation to you. We just need your mailing information. Of course, you can get to this book here and all of our literature at our website, thetrumpet.com. This article, it says, with Kamala in charge of the border, the United States has encountered an unfathomable 515,000 unaccompanied minors, a half million. And judging by the DHS report, hundreds of thousands of them have gone missing. It says, these poor children speak no English and have almost no support system here. By Biden's own estimation, 75 to 80% of them are suffering from the trauma of being brought into the U.S. by smugglers who routinely engage in physical and sexual abuse. I mean, I don't know about you, but this makes me angry. Children, the most vulnerable among us. And they're just being smuggled in, and then they disappear into the shadows. And then who knows what happens? It's like the Post says here. The numbers don't lie, but they also don't tell the whole story. It says the stats also don't tell the story of Springfield, Ohio. This is that town. Midwestern town of roughly 60,000 residents. And thanks to the border crisis, nearly 20,000 Haitians have resettled at Springfield. Further on, it says fentanyl is now the leading cause of death for Americans aged 18 to 49. In little over 6 months, between October 2022 and April 2023, the Border Patrol seized more than 17,000 pounds of fentanyl at the southern border, enough to kill every single American 14 times over. And so much of this is coming from China. I mean, we're just being attacked. And Joe Obama, they're on board with it. The dear leader, he supports this. Kamala, the so-called border czar, she's okay with this. She's fine with keeping that border wide open. Because they've got to register those people to vote as fast as possible. They're doing it in Georgia. They're doing it everywhere that they can. Go to Citizen Free Press sometime today and look at, you might have to scroll down because the stories get buried under the latest headlines. But look at all the headlines regarding Arizona and how hard the Democrats are fighting to make sure there's no voter ID, there's no restrictions, there's nothing. Just let anybody vote. A presidential election. The leadership of the United States. You may have seen the video circulating on social media. Steve Cortez bringing an illegal from Venezuela to the Democrat National Convention, saying, he'd like to go inside to the convention. And, of course, all of the security, the police, the law enforcement, and there's a lot out there because Antifa happens to be protesting in favor of Hamas. Chaos, division, strife, turmoil. It follows these Democrats everywhere that they go. But he says the Venezuelan would like to get into the DNC, and all of the enforcement there says no can do. He needs credentials. He needs ID. He needs a ticket or whatever it is to get in. Of course, Cortez is just making a point. Well, he didn't need any of those things to get into the United States of America. How about that? They just walk right in. 2 million of them under Obama's watch have just gotten away, unaccounted for. 291,000 children unaccounted for. Well, let's switch the topic to jobs. Did you know we've had millions and millions of jobs added? And then quietly, under Obama, it's every year or two now, they quietly have to revise the numbers. You tell that to the Secretary of Commerce, and she says, well, I don't believe that revision, because I don't believe anything Trump says. What is going on with these people? Listen to the regime media. I mean, this is right in the same spirit as that montage that we played for you earlier. The reaction to the Obamas and their perfect speeches. This is the morning meltdown regarding day three of the Democrat convention, clip four.
This is a Democratic Party, I mean, just ruthlessly efficient. I have not seen a convention night after night after night that sets it up this well. This is not the Democratic Party that you and I are used to seeing.
I mean, night after night, they're just knocking it out of the park. They can do no wrong. Listen to them talk about the, what is this? That was four. Let's play clip five. Same group.
We're used to these long convention speeches. You know, Bill Clinton's a great example where, you know, he ends up going over time and then everybody says, wow, it was just so brilliant that we're fine with that. I believe Tim Walz started roughly around the same time that Joe Biden did on Monday night. And for that purpose, if nothing else, coming in at 15 or 16, 17 minutes is good news for him. There wasn't a word wasted in that speech. And I continue to be stunned by a guy who had never performed on the national stage before, every time you put him in front of a big crowd, whether it was that first introductory speech or this one, he's, you know, knocking it out of the park.
There you go. Perfect. Not a word wasted. Not one word. The fact checkers, I mean, they've gone missing. And in fact, if they are interviewed, they say, you know what? This is, I'm not hearing any falsehoods or lies really to speak of. It's really amazing. It's perfect. It's the best speech in the history of conventions. So they say about Michelle Obama. Here's what they said about Tim Walz's speech last night, clip 8.
He is a political professional. He is a very deft political communicator. And that was a 10 out of 10 effective speech in a short period of time, established his bio, vouched for Kamala Harris, did a lot about his record substantively in policy, and laid out a very popular agenda for Kamala Harris, all while sort of hitting the other party and the other nominees. Short and sweet and compact and effective in his inimitable style. The guy is just a supremely effective communicator.
Yeah, and not a breath wasted.
There's Rachel Maddow chiming in at the end. Here again, not a breath wasted. Not one word wasted. Not even a breath. I mean, that's how, who says this about any speech? How would you expect this about any speech given by any human being on earth? Tim Walz is an authoritarian, a Marxist authoritarian who lies as a way of life. And honest journalists have exposed it. Why does he keep lying about how he and his wife had their children or about his coaching record or just the most trivial things? It's from Axios. This week, Walz's family members said their efforts to start a family were not aided by IVF, as previous statements and coverage indicated. Since joining the Democratic presidential ticket, Walz has been criticized for misstating his military rank at retirement and saying he carried weapons of war in war when he was never deployed to a combat zone. Just a little bit of a white lie, I guess. Just a tiny, tiny little falsehood. Not that big of a deal, is it? Not one word wasted. Not one breath. It was just perfect. He's also faced a fresh news cycle over the repeated false statements in his 2006 congressional campaign made about his 1995 arrest on suspicion of driving under the influence. So, anyhow, Axios does say that at least he doesn't lie as much as Trump does. So there you go. Pretty solid reporting coming from Axios, right? Propaganda is everything. This is how you prop up the regime. Get Goebbels in place. He doesn't even have to hold a gun. But just turn him loose on controlling people's brains. The Federalist. There's something really demented about Tim Walz's lying. Numerous pieces have focused on the IVF tribulations of the Walz family. Already, Walz has captivated crowds in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan with the story of his daughter's birth made possible through in vitro fertilization treatments, the AP reported on August 8 in a piece headlined, "In 60-year-old Tim Walz, Kamala Harris found a partner to advocate for reproductive rights." That's why this lie was so important for them. Because, hey, he's an advocate, and he knows. He's been there. So he's going to be out there a champion for reproductive rights. In one video, you can watch Walz even getting emotional, talking about IVF. "I remember it like it was yesterday," the VEEP candidate claims. "I'm not crying. You're crying. This is sociopathic behavior because, in truth, the Walzes never used IVF. They used IUI, which is not fraught with the moral questions surrounding the destruction of embryos. It's a fertility procedure in which sperm is placed in the uterus during ovulation to increase the chances of pregnancy." It's a huge difference. It's a big difference. And some are out there saying, well, I mean, he just got the acronym wrong. But there's a huge difference here. And you can see the political motivation to go with IVF instead. It says, lying about fighting in a war is unethical and dishonorable. It's nothing new. Lying about how your children were conceived to score some cheap political points is sort of demented. It's sort of demented. The Federalist is right. I mean, this is a man who can't get his story straight about anything, even his own personal background. Listen to Tim Walz as he takes a shot here. This is in the same speech that did not have one wasted word, not one wasted breath. Short little clip, number one from last night.
I had 24 kids in my high school class, and none of them went to Yale.
So he's just a good working man. He's just, I mean, he's there for the little guy. He's Coach Walz. You see the placards all over the place last night. Coach, coach, coach. It's all about establishing a false narrative. Goebbels would be proud. There he is in this huge arena. They've got all these fences up, all these border fences up outside the arena, the United Center. They've got all of these law enforcement officials, the border security guys. And then they're talking about, hey, we're going after big corporations because we're a champion for the little guy. And listen to Chris Cuomo. Yes, that Chris Cuomo, as he drops a bomb, a truth bomb, on these people at this convention and who they're really trying to cater to. That would be all of the wealthy donors, because you see, in this system, whether it's Democrat or Republican, you have to pay to play. Obamas know all about this. The Clintons know all about this. The Biden crime family for sure knows all about this. Chris Cuomo. You get him away from these corporate giants, and, well, they might actually speak a little bit of truth. Here's a case where he gets it right. Clip two.
Look at the ring of sweets, okay? This is not unique to Democrats. There is a game of money. When people talk about uniparty, we are strangled by the money reality in our politics. Those sweets start at 500 grand. You think there's like a teacher group up in there? You pay to play. Those boxes are filled with the same people that they say they're going to regulate. They are literally looking down on the faithful and being told, yeah, we're going to break down on them. We're going to make them pay their share. They paid 500, 700, a million and a half to have those seats. They get hotel suites that are probably gifted to the party. And the same thing is true with the Republican side. And they're going to take them down. But the reality is, in 2000, they spent $300 million on presidential campaigns. 24 years later, you know what they're expected to spend? $10 billion. Do you know how much money Harris has raised in the last couple of weeks? Hundreds of millions. And that's success. A lot of it's small donor. A lot of it isn't. The most dangerous money in politics is now legal money because of Citizens United. You've got to know this. The idea that they can fight against it is almost laughable. It's almost laughable. So look and listen when you are told these things, because I don't care what they promise you.
He's got all the fees there off to the left of him. Or to his right, I guess. Look at how much money you have to pay to be a part of this. What did he call it? The game of money. 24 years on from the year 2000, the presidential election was a $300 million enterprise. Today it's $10 billion. But they're going to go after the billionaires. These people are surrounded by billionaires. These people cater to the billionaires. And then they talk about Donald Trump, who's a billionaire, but he made his money in the private sector. In other words, it was a legitimate business. Okay, so he inherited the business, the family business, from his dad. Look at what he did with it, though. He converted a few million into billions and billions of dollars through the private sector. Every single Democrat that I can think of any prominence has made their millions. Yes, AOC. Yes, Nancy Pelosi. All of them. The Clintons, the Obamas, the Bidens. They're professional politicians. They've made all of their hundreds of millions of dollars in the public sector, in the system, in the swamp. That's right. You can see why, even though he's a billionaire, that Donald Trump would appeal to the residents of South Chicago. You can see why. Because he's real. He made his money the real way. He's built things. He's taken pride in that. He's maintained those properties. They're beautiful properties, as I've said before. And he gives jobs to thousands and thousands of people. And as one of his friends told us when we visited his golf estate at Palm Beach, the employees working there in the restaurant, the cafe, the hotels, the golf courses, they love him. They love how he treats them. They love how he pays them. I mean, here's a job creator. Besides building, he's a job creator. He's created jobs the right way. He doesn't lie about it. He doesn't say, you know what? I've created jobs for hundreds of thousands. I don't know how many work for him, but I'm sure it's tens of thousands. But they're real. They're legitimate jobs. For the regime, propaganda is everything. It's everything. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. Harris, Kamala Harris, riding a wave of unopposed media praise. There's just no, and this is not surprising to all of you viewers, I know this, but there is no opposition at all. I mean, the way that the regime media talks about, not even just the Obamas, but now it's Walz. I mean, this is, he's a 10 out of 10. He's hit a grand slam. He's not wasted one word. He's not wasted one breath. Says here, former Clinton advisor Mark Penn credited Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris's increased popularity to the unopposed media, which has been nonstop praising her since she launched her campaign. And this really tells you something about just the public sentiment. It's been nonstop praise for Kamala and nonstop attack mode when it comes to Donald Trump. And yet still, just take a camera and a microphone, walk through South Chicago and, you know, see what you find. See what the public sentiment is like. She's had unopposed media praising her, and we've seen her numbers move from 38% favorable to 47%. It says now in the background, two-thirds are unhappy with the economy. Two-thirds were unhappy with the direction of the country. Almost 60% were unhappy with the administration. And most people didn't like her as vice president. But you've got the regime media on board now. Look at what they can do in just the course of a month. People can hear Joe Scarborough and think, what, she can do no wrong. Listen to Maria Bartiromo. I think this was from earlier today, clip 6.
Tonight is the final night of the Democrat National Convention. Vice President Kamala Harris set to speak and formally accept the Democrat presidential nomination. All of this without sitting for an interview, without holding a formal press conference, and without releasing any details of her policy agenda.
Nothing. She's a blank slate. No agenda, no details, no interview. Just joy. Just bringing joy. They released another phone call, a video of her calling Tim Walz ahead of his delivery or his speech last night. Hey, Tim, this is Kamala. Oh, you're going to love the energy. You're going to love the joy. You're going to do great. And then Tim, in response, thank you for the opportunity. It's been electric all week long. These people are frauds. Even all the way through to the scripted, televised phone calls. to the regime, propaganda is everything. They can't survive without propaganda. Lee Zeldin, he posted this on Twitter. Kamala Harris becomes the first candidate to become a major party presidential nominee without receiving even a single vote, without putting even a single policy on a website, without standing for even a single press conference, or without sitting for even a single interview. How is this even possible? Well, in large part because of the regime media. I mean, behind closed doors, they must say, you know, this is going to be a challenge. We've got a complete blank slate. She won't talk to us. She won't give a press conference. She has no agenda. She's trying to cover up the fact that she was border czar. How can we lift her into the office of the presidency? Well, you can see. You can see their strategy and their approach. We'll just talk about her as if she's a perfect angel. Same with Walls. Same with the Obamas. Same with the Clintons. Same with all of them. These are the last of the swooners. The numbers don't lie, but the regime media lies. They lie as an established habit. Jake Tapper, he's on yesterday. Let's bring in Daniel Dale. Daniel, there were a lot of assertions made on the stage behind me. What do you think? Daniel Dale happens to be the fact checker at CNN. And Dale says, I thought there were very few false or misleading claims tonight. It's just, he didn't go quite as far as the regime media when talking about the speeches of Walls, the Obamas. Just not a wasted word, not a wasted breath even. But he says, you know, I heard a lot of factual statements, subjective opinions, personal stories, uncheckable predictions. Pretty amazing. And then, as I say, you see the way that they approach Donald Trump. And it's remarkable that Donald Trump is crushing it the way that he is. TikTok, there was a tweet, I didn't have time to verify it, but some guy on Twitter says that Trump's receiving an average of 1 million likes per TikTok post. Kamala is receiving an average of 90,000 likes. 90,000 for the one that likes to post her phone conversations with Tim Walz. For Trump, it's about 1 million. How do you explain these numbers given what he's going up against? Sundance talked about the press conference that he had in, where was this? This was Howell, Michigan. This happened a couple of days ago. I had the footage on hand for yesterday. But Howell, evidently, decades ago, the KKK had a gathering in Howell. And so the media, your media, you know, the patriots in the media that just love America and they're wanting to give both sides an equal platform, an equal voice. Your media pounces on Trump saying, hey, why would you go to a city where something bad happened decades ago? Can you believe that this is even a story? It certainly was. Reuters. Trump campaigns in Michigan town with historic links to white extremism. The Hill. Harris campaign knocks Trump over event in KKK capital of Michigan. Even the Harris campaign got in on this. Detroit Metro Times. Democrats blast Trump's rally in Michigan town with troubling KKK ties. Well, I mean, this sounds bad. Why is he visiting a town that has ties to the KKK? And then when Trump's there, I mean, he's even confronted by a reporter who obviously, she reads Reuters. That's where she gets her talking points. And if Reuters says he's going to a KKK town because he's a white supremacist, well, I've got to confront him on that then. It didn't go so well for the reporter, however. Listen to this exchange, clip 11.
Thank you for coming.
Who was here in 2021?
Nobody.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
The perfect mic drop moment. Trump just casually steps up to the mic and says, you're saying I'm coming to this town because it's got links to the KKK from decades ago? Who came here in 2021? The reporter says, well, I guess Joe Biden did. Where were the Joe Biden? He's cozying up to the KKK. Where were those stories in 2021? Well, if there were any stories about his visit in 2021, I bet they said the speech. There wasn't one wasted word, not one wasted breath. In fact, I mean, you could add to that, we've never seen Joe Biden sharper mentally. That's right. He's at his very best. Scarborough said that just a few months ago. Look at the whirlwind of lies and propaganda that we've seen since that time. I forget when Scarborough made that statement. Was it April, maybe? May? Then you come forward to the debate, June 27th, and all that's happened since. Sundance says here, the media attempted to paint President Trump into a corner created by Brian Fallon and the Harris campaign, accusing President Trump of visiting a racist community in Michigan. Quite silly, really. However, President Trump deftly handled the gotcha effort, thinking quick and turning the narrative back upon the reporter. And then he quotes the exchange, turns it right back on the reporter. I didn't have time the other day, but since we've got a couple minutes left, I played that. I think this was from Tuesday night, maybe Monday, but we played the Jamie Raskin bit from yesterday. Raskin, remember, he's on the January 6th committee. So Steve Bannon's in prison right now, largely because he defied Jamie Raskin. Jamie Raskin gets through to his speech and comes to a teleprompter malfunction, and he the cat bit his tongue. He had no idea what to say as he stood there for several awkward seconds. This one, too, is laugh-out-loud hilarious, as Dinesh D'Souza tweeted. It's unintentionally funny in a paradoxical, bitter sort of way. I think this woman is from Michigan. I think she's either a state congressperson or maybe she's in the Senate or the Congress in D.C., but listen to what she said, I think, on Monday afternoon, clip 12.
Donald Trump would be able to weaponize the Department of Justice to go after his political opponents. He could even turn the FBI into his own personal police force. That is not how it works in America. That's how it works in dictatorships.
Can you even believe how unbelievably rich it is for her to say that about what Donald Trump might do, given what the DOJ and the FBI are doing right now? Given the way the what is it? The labor statistics? I forget what agency that's under. Just lie about it for a year and then come back and quietly revise. Or in 2022, same thing. Lie about a million phantom jobs and just carry on with it for a year if you have to. Try to get it through the election if possible. And then there she is, this woman, saying that it's Trump who's going to, he's going to weaponize the agencies. He could actually use it and use it against his political opponents. For the regime, as I keep saying, for the regime, propaganda is everything. They can't survive without it. But as Tucker noted on Monday, more and more people, it's taken years, hasn't it? I mean, America Under Attack's been out for whatever it's been, 11 years, 2013. But it takes a while for the message to get out, for the lies to be exposed. And I think a lot of it, besides those that are maybe reading it and studying it in books like this, you know, they've lived through the regime these past 16 years, except for those, you know, few years of interruption with Donald Trump's first term. and they see what's happening. They see the dumpster fires all around. And finally, people are waking up to the fact that this has been a disaster, and they want something new. They want something different. And the regime media is going to do everything they can to try to say, yeah, Kamala has that. Kamala has that. They'll just lie about it. They'll spread the propaganda. But you can't, you cannot. I mean, the numbers, they don't lie. They tell you everything that you need to know. Maybe not all the details, like the Post story brings out. But the numbers don't lie. It's Democrats that lie. It's politicians that lie. It's human beings that lie. The numbers don't. The fruits don't. That's all we have time for on today's show. In fact, I took you like a minute over. I thought I had a few extra minutes there at the end. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.